Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, make us have perpetual love and reverence for your holy name, for you never fail to help and govern those whom you have set upon the sure foundation of your loving kindness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the first book of Kings. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus." The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 42 in unison. As the deer longs for the water brooks, so longs my soul for you, O God. My soul is athirst for God, athirst for the living God. When shall I come to appear before the presence of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while all the day long they say to me, "Where now is your God?" I pour out my soul when I think on these things, how I went with the multitude and led them into the house of God, with the voice of praise and thanksgiving among those who keep holy day. Why are you so full of heaviness, O my soul? And why are you so disquieted within me? Put your trust in God, for I will yet give thanks to him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. My soul is heavy within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan and from the peak of Mizar among the heights of Hermon. One deep calls to another in the noise of your cataracts. All your rapids and floods have gone over me. The Lord grants his loving kindness in the daytime. In the night season, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to the God of my strength, "Why have you forgotten me? And why do I go so heavily while the enemy oppresses me? While my bones are being broken, my enemies mock me to my face. All day long they mock me and say to me, 'Where now is your God?' Why are you so full of heaviness, O my soul? And why are you so disquieted within me? Put your trust in God, for I will yet give thanks to him, who is the help of my countenance and my God."
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Galatians. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The word of the Lord.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As Jesus stepped out on the land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes and did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times he had seized him and was kept guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus had asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. Then he begged him not to order them back into the abyss. Now there was on the hillside a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter into these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swine herd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man for whom the demons had gone, sitting at his feet, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding countries of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. So he went away proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the fourth sermon in a series on the prophet Elijah. And over again, I have reminded you of the image of Jesus on the mountain of the Transfiguration and how he stood there. And he began to glow with the brightness of God's light. And on either side of him, there stood Moses and Elijah. And so one of our purposes, because we too want to one day be able to stand close to Jesus, is to learn more about this Elijah, so that we can follow him to Christ. So it may come as a surprise to you that I believe the prophet Elijah suffered from depression. Now, I define depression as feeling so awful, so bad, that you want to die. If you just want to roll over and die, I would say that you're feeling depressed. You agree with me on that one? Yes. And the prophet Elijah felt that bad at times in his life. Let me give you some other names of people who have suffered from depression. John Adams, the second president of the United States. Queen Elizabeth II. Abraham Lincoln, Winston Churchill, Angelina Jolie, J.K. Rowling, Oprah Winfrey, So if you think of people who suffer from depression as being lost souls who have nothing to contribute, I think you're wrong. These are amazing people, aren't they? Incredibly bright, incredibly beautiful, people who changed the world suffered from depression. Abraham Lincoln said, "I must be the most miserable man alive." And he went on to do the things that he did to save our country. Winston Churchill talked about having a black dog that would descend upon him and try to consume him. These are faithful people, people of character. So if any of you suffer from depression, Don't you for 1 minute think that you're alone, or that God doesn't love you and value you. Elijah had just had a great victory, a mountaintop experience. He had just won an incredible contest with the prophets of Baal. The prophets of Baal had put this big carcass of a bull on an altar, and they had danced and prayed and gyrated and did all kinds of things, hoping that Baal would come and consume their offering. And nothing happens. And when Elijah prays to God, a fire comes and consumes the offering. And not only that, but Elijah tells King Ahab that the drought that has lasted for so long and caused a famine will end, that it will rain. And sure enough, it rains. And all the prophets of Baal are killed. And Elijah wins big time. You would think he would have felt great. But sometimes it's after we have these mountaintop experiences that we fall and don't know how to go on with life. And after this momentous victory, Jezebel the queen sends Elijah a message. A hate mail message. She says, "As surely as I am Jezebel, you will be dead like one of those prophets by tomorrow." It's hard to be hated. Elijah is terrified. He's so afraid that he runs literally out of Israel and into Judah. He goes under this broom tree and he lies down and he says openly in Scripture, "I want to die. Just let me roll over and die." That's how bad he felt. And God does what you and I would do if someone we love was feeling that bad. What's the first thing you'd do? Make sure they're eating, right? God sends an angel with food and tells Elijah to eat, and then lets Elijah sleep a while, and then feeds Elijah again. Another good recipe: eat and sleep for starters. And then God says, "Let's go. We're going to go on a journey." God takes Elijah to a cave where Elijah is profoundly alone. You could say that Elijah's depression and his desperation drive him into this cave. And it's there that he hears the voice of God. Isn't that bizarre? That it would be a man who felt like dying who would hear the voice of God? But sometimes I find that that's the case. That when we struggle and when we suffer, it sometimes breaks us open and makes us so desperate that we actually start listening to God. Sometimes the hardest things that you go through can be the very times in which you discover the presence of God and the love of God. Elijah is broken open by his depression. You know, a friend of mine once said that in the natural world, if you really look closely, everything grows in the valleys, doesn't it? Nothing really grows on the hilltops, on the mountaintops. I know we all want to be on the mountaintop because it's so exciting and it feels so good, but what really grows up there? Some shrubbery maybe and some dry grass? Stuff grows in the valleys, doesn't it? That's where it's really fertile. And unfortunately, you and I grow when we struggle. So Elijah goes to a cave in the midst of his struggle. And I find it fascinating that before he hears the voice of God, he hears everything else. That's just like the way it goes for us too. Have you noticed that when you sit down to pray, most of the time you hear everything else? We hear noise and we hear worries and we hear distractions. We realize how we really feel about somebody, that we're angry or frustrated or mad. It is not easy listening to ourselves. It's much easier to stay busy and not listen. Elijah hears the roar of the wind and the noise of that, but God's not in that. Elijah hears the earthquake and the whole earth tremble, and God is not in that. Elijah hears the fire and the burning heat, and God is not in that. And even though Elijah has heard all these things where God is not, he does not stop listening. Most of us, when we are encountered with things that are not God, we stop listening. But that's not what he does. He sticks it out. He listens through it, through all of it, through his sadness, through the noise. And finally, he hears it. For many decades, this passage was translated as Elijah heard the still small voice. That translation always bothered me. I thought of this little voice going, wah, 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 wah. Didn't sound like God to me. But the ancient Hebrew, more accurately translated in your scripture, is sheer silence. And my Hebrew professor says that he thought the best translation was this, that Elijah heard God's voice in the sound of eloquent silence. Eloquent silence. Underneath all the pain and all the noise and all the rushing, and all the calamity, and all the worries, and all the craziness, and all the uproar, is this eloquent silence that waits for you. And when Elijah hears it, he walks to the entrance of the cave. And he is well. Sometimes I wonder if we are afraid of reaching that eloquent silence because we're afraid of being well. That it's not so much our weakness or our sadness that scares us, but it's our power and our wellness, and what we could become if we truly were one with God. A research psychologist by the name of Anders Ericsson did an experiment at the music school in West Berlin. He studied violinists and asked their professors to divide them into three categories. The first category were the geniuses, who were so gifted that they would have an explosive career playing their violins. The second category were those who were good and could probably make a living out of it. And the third category were those who worked very hard, but yet didn't quite have it and would probably end up teaching. No offense to you teachers. Anders Ericsson examined the practices of every one of these students. They all spent 50 hours a week in musical activities. So they were all devoted, all amazing. But the people in the top third category, the genius category, they spent between 3 and 4 hours every day totally alone, practicing alone. And it was that time alone, that time in silence, listening only to themselves, that brought them to the level of genius. There is a new book out called Quiet. It is a national bestseller. And in that book, the author proposes that throughout human history, the greatest inventions, the greatest leaps in creativity or discoveries have not been made by a group of people in a think tank brainstorming, but have been made by one single solitary person alone, who had the courage to listen deeply. Elijah had the courage to listen deeply. And I want to encourage you to have that same strength, to dare to carve out time in your life when there is no radio and no television and no cell phone and no screens, and where you sit alone with God. I know it's scary. I know it's hard. We want to run away. But planted deep within you at your baptism, there is this well of God's presence, this deep and eloquent silence. And it is there, and only there, that you discover who you really are. In today's gospel, there is a man who is plagued by demons, and Jesus heals him. And if you read at the end of the scripture, when the man is fully well and seated at the feet of Jesus, all of the villagers come around. And you know what they say to Jesus? They tell him to leave. Because they're scared of his healing power. They're scared of what he can do. They want to go back to their normal lives. I think all of us are inclined to want to do the same, to just stay busy, not to truly encounter the healing presence of God, because it's just too scary. But I encourage you to try it, even if it's for short periods of time. Listen. Listen as you worry. Listen as you struggle. Listen as you feel. And as you're distracted, listen through it all and see if you can touch that eloquent silence. It will shape your life. Amen.
Let us stand and reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, we pray for all those who are suffering in any way, for the sick, the lonely, the hungry, and those in pain. I invite you to speak the names of those in need aloud. Lord, in your mercy, bless this cathedral and all who walk through these doors, that we may serve you all our days. Lord, in your mercy, bless the city of Jacksonville, that we may grow and prosper, Lord, in your mercy. Give peace in our time, that throughout the world there may be greater understanding among all people. Lord, in your mercy. Give us the wisdom and the means to care for the good earth that you have given us. Lord, in your mercy. Embrace the souls of all those who have died. Comfort those who mourn. I invite you to speak the names of those who have died aloud. Victor. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray for our own needs and those of others. We especially give thanks today for the birth of Walker James Graves.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name.
Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad you're here today. If you're new or visiting, please raise your hand and we'll make sure that we welcome you. Welcome to you. We have some newcomer bags in the back and tours of the church, so we're glad you're here with us today. It is so good to see you all. I just heard that you two celebrated your 50th anniversary. They were married here. Stand up. Come on. Oh, that's awesome. Wow. We are discerning a capital campaign, and we have a few needs around this building that need to be addressed. If you're interested in looking at some of those needs, we have tours that leave from the church after this service, and we'd love to take you on a tour. Mark your calendars for Vacation Bible School, which begins on July the 8th through the 12th. You can register online, and we'd love to have adults as well as children. Today, Lauren Kalman from Communities and Schools will be here at the cathedral to talk about how you can become involved as a mentor in the public schools. If you would like to become a mentor for a child, please let us know. There's more information about it in your bulletin. Also, I want to encourage those of you who are physically able to give some blood today. The blood mobile is right outside the church, so get a cookie and give some blood. We would love that. The city needs it. We have had three families living here. Families who are homeless have been living here at the church this week as part of our Family Promise program. And some of you heard one of the girls singing and playing the guitar today at breakfast. Was that beautiful or what? So we're grateful for Teresa Johnson. And if you helped out with Family Promise in any way by making a meal or by staying overnight, would you please stand? Great. Thank you so much. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Oh, Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise. At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, and planets in their courses, and the fragile Earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race, and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust. And we turned against one another.
Have mercy, Lord, we are sinners in your sight.
Again and again, you called us to return through prophets and sages. You revealed your righteous law, and in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law and open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly choruses, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with those in every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and said the blessing. He broke it and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as you await his coming. Lord, God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of the Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in His name. Risen Lord, be known to us. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, your Church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on Him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us, lifting members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with your children in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us out of the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness through Christ our Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your minds and hearts in the knowledge of God and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the blessing of God the Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.